Always Sunny News.
You see it? Good morning, good morning. That last song sounds like, the title sounds like a remix. He done done something. It is good to be with everyone. Happy fall, moving time lapse forward, whatever we call it. I know I like it. I like it when we move it forward or we move it back because I feel rested. I don't know about the rest of you guys, but that extra hour, man, I woke up this morning like I was a rooster. I was just like, okay, you know, I'm not running out. I'm not like, you know, cleaning the eye out. I'm like, I feel good. I got an extra hour, you know, so I like that. I don't like when we move it forward, though. That I don't like the forward part. I don't like that. Nah, y'all can keep the forward, you know. But yeah, it's good to be with you guys. I mean, it feels like it's been a while since I've been here. I like you guys. I'm not trying to duck, you know, not trying to hide from you guys. I really like being with you. It's been a busy month. A lot of travel. I've been on one, not two, but three men's retreats. I'm retreated. I'm retreated. And then with that travel, my wife is traveling next week. So it's a lot of movement going on in my household right now. But I love this. I love this weather. I like the fact that I don't gotta turn on the heat yet. I know Con Edison don't like that, but I like it. You know, I like that it's a little cool, but the sun is out, right? So it's cool in the shade, but you get in the sun, you're like, oh, I'm good. I appreciate that. You know, and so I, with so much going on in life, right, there's a couple of things I want to, you know, mention. First and foremost, I have a request from the campus, our campus ministry here. And when this request came to me, I had an initial, but then I said, nope. I said, this is something that's on their hearts. So the first one was, can they have the second or third row? Like, can we have that, right? Because we want to come and sit together. I was like, all right, cool. That's easy. That's an easy one. No problem. Now, the second one, they said, well, we would like the church to come in and wear flannels one Sunday. Now, I had a little at first. But I said, you know what? Here's a younger generation making a request. And I know we love our younger generation. Do we not? Do we not love our younger generation? So I said, I'm going to make this request public because they're not going to say no to you, right? If it was one-on-one, they'd be like, nah, we ain't doing this. But publicly, they ain't going to want to say no. So they request that we can wear flannel on, what date was it? The 23rd, is it Sunday? The 17th, okay? If we can come wear flannels because they want to take a group picture. They want to take a group picture in our flannels. So can we encourage our campus ministry and do this? All right. See, I told you it worked. I told you that would work, right? I told you, they're gonna say no, you know, in public. They don't wanna be put out like that. So if you've been following us at all, we've been talking a lot about faith. I have faithed you out. And that was on purpose, because I personally believe that faith is fundamental. It's a fundamental piece of our walk with God. If you don't think that, then you're in the wrong life, right? And so we've been talking about this for, it seems like 2 months, I think. And we had some great, you know, lessons by different people, you know, talking about different those in the Hall of Faith, right, in Hebrews chapter 11. And so this Wednesday, we're actually going to be wrapping up this series. right? But, you know, Mr. Harry Mullen is going to do us an incredible job. He's going to do an incredible job by helping us understand who Noah is and why he was mentioned in Hebrews 11, right? And so some good things happening. Some good things happening. I have another good news to share. It may, you know, depending on how you look at it. We have, and many of you know, Stephen Aldui, a young man who has been part of this congregation and his family for many years. You've seen him make Jesus Lord of his life as a high school student. And now he is currently in college in Lehman. He's enrolled at Lehman College. And with this transition in life, you know, he made some assessments and said, you know what? I'm spending a lot of time in the Bronx. I live in the Bronx. I go to school in the Bronx. And so, you know, it makes sense that I worship with the family in the Bronx, right? And so today is gonna be his last service with us, his last worship service with us officially, right? So when you see him in the fellowship, give him some hugs, give him love, smack him in the head, do the things you normally do. But we're so proud of you. So proud of this young man. I mean, I got a chance to know him for about a year since we've been here, and I could see the transformation. I can see the growth and the next step thinking, you know, and just how he's thinking about his own walk and his own life. I'm like, man, this is signs of maturity. This is good. This is good. So again, man, we love you, and we definitely want to see you come back and visit from time to time, and let us see that growth in your life. Amen. All right. Yeah, give him applause. Yeah, man. See, young man. So I'm a cheat today. I'm gonna cheat. I told you guys that you know, we're gonna wrap up the, you know, talking about faith next week. I mean, excuse me, this Wednesday. But today I'm giving you a preview of a series that we're gonna do in the future. I'm not telling you when we're gonna do it, but this is just a preview of what is next, right? Because we spent some time talking about faith. And I'm like, okay, so now we've got this faith, what's next, right? And I've been spending a lot of time, and I've been looking at the letters that Peter sent to the church. And he begins, he actually helped answer this question about what, now that you have this faith, what's next? And so that's what we're gonna talk about. Now again, I'm gonna highlight just one piece of this, but then at some point in 2025, we're gonna come back and we're gonna do this series, all right? So if you're recording this, record it, but we're gonna come back to this at a later point. So like I said, we've been talking a lot about faith. And we talked about, you know, how our eyes, you know, gives us confidence in the things that we see in this physical world, right? That's what we said. If I'm looking at you, you are confident that you are sitting in these pews, that no one can convince you otherwise. That's how sure and confident you are. Well, that's kind of like how faith is in the spiritual realm. When we have this faith, we have this confidence. The things that we can't see, but the things that God has already promised. Right? And so Peter, you know, he writes these letters to the early church. And in his first letter that he wrote to them, he talked about, it was really just about encouragement, right? Because they were going through a lot of turmoil and they're being challenged. And so he wrote a letter to encourage them. And then he wrote a second letter to them because he really wanted to address three things. One, he wanted to strengthen the faith of these Christians, because these are young Christians. They weren't, you know, these are new converts. He also wanted to warn them. He wanted to warn them of false teachings, right? False teachings that could corrupt the faith that they have. And then lastly, you're gonna find notes of encouragement, right? Encouraging them to grow spiritually, right? Because it's not enough to make Jesus Lord today. Great. You made Jesus Lord of your life. You believe the scriptures. You believe the gospel that we brought to you. But now I want you to grow. I don't want to come back 2-3 years later and you're still at this elementary stage, or 5 years later, or whatever that time frame, the expectation and the encouragement was to grow in their faith. And so we pick up in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. It says, "For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness." This is what we're gonna talk about today. This goodness. Peter is telling these young Christians, you have this faith. Now I want you to make every effort to add goodness to your faith. Now there's other, if you read, you know, verses 5 to 8, there's other virtues and characteristics, right? But we're only gonna talk about goodness today. And again, we're gonna come back to the series sometime next year. But that doesn't stop any of you to continue and go ahead and be overachievers and study this out for yourself, right? But Peter is imploring them to add to their faith goodness. Now, I don't know if, you know, he had a ranking order and said, okay, the most important thing is goodness and then knowledge and then, you know, I don't know if that's how he was thinking, but from my personal standpoint, there's no such thing as a coincidence. And if the Spirit put on his heart to say goodness was the first thing that came out of his mouth after he penned this, then I think it's worth looking at. I think it's worth just, okay, let's examine what is this goodness that he's talking about. So in your text, you know, you see goodness, but the Greek word for goodness is arete. Now, this word arete is not just like a good feeling, like be a good person, right? If you were back in time in ancient Greece, this idea was like, it was like a mantra. It was a pursuit of excellence. Pursuit of virtue and morale, be high, have a high moral character, right? It was that way, it was the way they would see this. It wouldn't just be a good person, be nice, be gentle. Remember VHS tapes when you used to rent it, says be kind, rewind, right? Like that's not what this good is talking about. I know I just dated myself, it's all good. I'm confident in that, I own my age, I'm good. But this mindset, this thought that we need to add this characteristic to our faith, to these young Christians, I find it exciting. I find it because it's talking about a quality of God. He wants us to take a quality of God and add it to the faith you now have. But not just throw it on there like some seasoning, pursue it. Make every effort. Don't get distracted by other things or lesser things. Focus on adding goodness to this faith you have. I think that's exciting because for those of you who love goals and vision boards and you have all these different things that you lay out to go after, this might, you know, get you going, because you're like, yeah, I like a challenge. I like going after something, right? And even if you don't achieve it at first or at the big step, you take little steps that gets you closer to it, right? Because again, the expectation is not perfection, but it is adding goodness to our walk with God. Arete. So I'm a flash this up, right? God is good all the time. And all the time he is good. This is going to be some interactive service today. Every time you see this slide, you will say, exactly. That's the only point I got today. If you walk out of here today and say, man, I just love these other, man, you missed it. This is the only point I want everyone to walk away with. God is good all the time. And all the time, he is good. We're gonna look at a couple of scriptures that tries to encapsulate, that tries to quantify the goodness of God. Again, a couple of scriptures. It's up to you to dig a little further. You have access to the same scriptures I have access to, and you can do this own study. But let's look at a couple of these scriptures that reflects God's goodness. In Exodus 33, verse 19, and the Lord said, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. When Moses asked God, God, I want to see your face. I want to see it. God said, well, I can't do that for you. Because if you see my face, you'll die. You see, God's goodness and his own character realize that this is what he's asking for, but if I do that, he would die. So I'm going to allow my goodness to pass him. I think about that because I know there are times I ask for things. God, please give me this. God, please give me that. But you gave me this. And I wonder. But the reality is, God is good. And if he chose to give me this, it's because he's good. You see, God is not someone that has to obtain goodness like we do. It's not like he's in line waiting for goodness to be given out. He is goodness. He is good. And so if he decides, no, I'm not going to show you my face. I'm just going to allow my goodness to pass you. And we got to accept that. Why? Not some of the time. All the time. This is why. In Psalms 34, verse 8, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Have you ever tried to explain something to somebody, but you can't find the words to match what it is that you're trying to say? Like it's like you were there. Like you were there, and you try to man, the music was incredible, and the people but it's just not quite coming out. This is the image I think about. My wife and my son's probably laughing because they already get where I'm going with this, right? You want to win me? Get me a warm apple pie with some French vanilla ice cream sitting on top. I don't care what's going on in your life. I don't care what's going on in my life. If you show up with some warm apple pie and French vanilla ice cream on top, and it's just, it just starts to dribble down. It ain't quite dribbled down yet. You see, I'm explaining to you an experience I have with apple pie and ice cream. David said, taste and see the Lord is good. I believe David was trying to say, sometimes you gotta experience God's goodness. You see, I can't just tell you, I wrote all these Psalms, but you're just gonna have to taste it for yourself. You're gonna have to experience God for yourself. It's intimate. God is inviting us in. It's like your quiet times or your meditative times when you're reflecting, when you're by yourself, when you're in your special place. I have a special place. I go to Rye Park or Rye Beach or whatever, and I sit on a bench and I'm looking at the water. That's my space. I'm gone. I am gone. And so when I read the scripture, taste and see that the Lord is good. Come on in. Come sit down with me. You ever had those moments of prayer times and you can act, it almost feels like there's a warm hug around you. You can't explain it. You might say maybe it's an angel or you whatever is going on. I'm not here to judge or question, but there's those moments where if you come and taste it and see that the Lord is good, this is what I believe God wants. He draws us in. And why does he draw us in? God is good all the time. He's good all the time. In Psalms 145, verses 9, the Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. God's goodness allows him to be slow in anger. His goodness allows him to be patient. His goodness allows him to extend compassion to all, not some, not the ones he like, or the ones that sing the loudest, or the one that tithe the most, or the one that is meek, that's solitary, or hurting. No, his goodness is able to cover all. His goodness also covers those who do evil. His goodness also extends to his enemies. Think about it. For every one of us, before we became Christians, we lived as enemies to the Lord. Whether we did it on purpose or because we were foolish, we lived as enemies to the Lord. But his goodness, the scripture says, the Lord is good to all, and he has compassion on all he has made. Even to those who are undeserving. Think about it. You know how hard it is to show compassion to people I think don't deserve it? I have the spirit, and it's difficult. I can't even think about default Kenson. Kenson all by himself, just roaming the world. I couldn't imagine showing compassion to my enemies or those who I believe or who I've judged don't deserve it. They don't deserve one thing from me. Maybe I'm the only one who thinks like that. I know God showed his compassion to me. I know that for sure. I know I didn't deserve it. I know we just heard an incredible message, the communion message, a reminder what Jesus went through, what he sacrificed. I know I didn't deserve that. There was not one good thing I did before I became a Christian to validate me being rescued. Not one. Not one. Even if I did, volunteer work, give my money to the poor, whatever it was, I still didn't deserve the salvation that I have. But I have it. Why? He's good all the time. That's why. Name in verse 1:7. The Lord is good, a refuge in times of trouble. He cares for those who trust in him. God's goodness provides a place for you in times of uncertainty, in times of stress and hardships. Now, can anyone think about a time where things seem uncertain, unsure, a little anxious about this or that? I hear the mumbling. Yep, I hear it. And I'm gonna say it. I'm gonna say the P word. Say it with me. Park Avenue. Ooh, somebody said politics. Somebody said politics in church. I'm telling my elders, y'all waited for Kevin to leave to start talking about politics in church. I'm telling them. But that's the reality, I get it. Times are uncertain right now. People are, or some are anxious, some are hopeful, some are fearful. That's the reality. Times seem uncertain. I get it. Some of us are feeling anxious or fearful about this presidential election, right? This Wednesday, someone is going to be made the victor and someone won't. And some of us will be happy, some of us won't. That's going to be the reality. But I ask everyone right now to stop just for a moment. Take a deep breath with me and let it out. Take another one. God is good even in times of uncertainty. He is. Regardless of what we see with our physical eyes, regardless of what we experience in this physical world, God is good even in the times of uncertainty. The Lord is good, a refuge in times of trouble. He cares for those who trust in him. His goodness is a certain, his promises are solid ground to the faithful. It's solid ground. I have this image of a cave, and I know right now it's sunny out there because God is good when it's sunny too. Not just when it's bad and that he's good all the time. But this image kind of gives me a reminder that even though I may see whatever I see outside that cave, I can find refuge in God. That's what the scriptures tells us about his goodness, that we can find refuge in it. He's good. When is he good? Oh, I got you. I got you. I thought y'all was going to do that. When you reflect God's goodness, the Holy Spirit produces fruit that feeds and blesses those around you. This is where we go back to that scripture when Peter writes this letter to the early church about adding goodness to your faith. When we start applying, not just going after, but when we apply God's goodness to our faith, we can start to experience the workings of the Holy Spirit bearing fruit in our life. See, it's not us that's going to create goodness, right? That's the work of the Holy Spirit. He's going to do that work. But our job is to pursue it. Our job is to remove those things that block us from attaining this goodness that he spoke of. Goodness is present in Christians' lives when we reflect God's moral excellence, right? When we're making decisions based on God's goodness, and it begins to manifest itself in our interactions with people, then people look at us and say, man, I see this in you, but I also see this coming from God. You see, that it has to be reflective. It has to be in our lives that we can see it and that those around us can see it. When goodness is added to our faith, we radiate a level of kindness that's not there when you're in your default stage. Remember, default Kinson deserves nothing. There's nothing good about him. But spirit-led Kinson can show kindness, can show a level of kindness that strangers have no idea where this is coming from. How I treat people who are different from me, or think differently from me, or have opposing opinions of me, does not affect me treating you with the goodness of God, because I'm adding this to my faith. It draws people in, like warm apple pie and ice cream. Goodness of God draws people in. You're adding this to your faith, you're drawing people to you. Sometimes you're not even seeking people. They come to you because they go, when I'm around you, I sense goodness. For some reason, I'm at peace when I'm spending time with you. Now, we got a problem. We got a problem if we're not adding when we're not adding goodness to our faith. Because now we enter this realm of, well, Peter wrote this letter to me, you know, last year, and I'm in the same spot this year. And then he came to visit about 3 years later, and I'm the same person. Matter of fact, he had to pull me aside and tell me that he's concerned that there's no growth. You're actually regressing. You're actually worse than I left you last time. It's as if you don't even believe anymore. Right? Self-evaluation. That's what Sean said. Sometimes you gotta do some self-evaluating. Sometimes people don't gotta tell you that something is wrong or something's off in your spirit. Sometimes you gotta sit down and look at yourself and say, man, what am I adding to my faith? What am I adding? What am I doing? What am I waiting for? Right? Like, these are the questions you have to ask yourself, right? Because it's important. Because the reality is, we're in this journey and we're walking in the light of God. And we have this faith that we profess, we believe, and we hold to. But we gotta grow. Remember, one of the reasons why Peter wrote the letter, because he wanted those young Christians to grow spiritually. He wanted them to mature. He didn't want that tree to have no fruit, or the seed never making it to a tree. Like, he expected it to grow. Just like for us today, we should expect to grow, adding to our faith, pursuing it, pursuing God's goodness in our life. In 2 Peter 1:3-4, it reads, his divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who's called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great precious promise, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. To the new Christians in the faith, you know, I'm talking to Chelsea and a few others out there, right? Let's say 0 to 2 years. Let's say we consider you guys young Christians. This is good news. This is good news that you have an opportunity to experience the divine nature, not your selfish nature, not your, you know, I like this nature. Divine nature, spiritual, God-given. You get to experience that. You get to experience changes in your life. The way you see the world, the way you think, the way you interact with people. This is what Peter is saying to these young Christians. Now, if you're not a Christian, I don't want you to close your ears. I want you to listen. Because guess what? You're here today. Or you're online. I just found out there's some people listening to us online. I didn't know that. That's cool. Listen, God's word is available today. You can learn what it means to make Jesus Lord of your life. Just like the early church that Peter wrote to, just like some of the young Christians we have in this room, and the rest of us who've made that decision long ago. You have the opportunity to hear God's word, develop a faith, believe it, make Jesus Lord of your life, get baptized, get your sins forgiven, now be able to interact in the divine power that Peter is talking about. You can have access to it, but the choice is up to you. And to the rest of us, the 10 years ago, the 20 years ago, the 40 years ago I became a Christian, we too need to be reminded what power we have access to. We have access to the divine nature of God, the Holy Spirit indwelling in us, wanting to bear so much fruit in our lives, desiring it. Even when we don't know what to ask for, he's interceding to God. God, listen, this is what he needs. This is what she needs. I want to bear fruit. I want this goodness to explode. You ever saw a fruit tree that has so much fruit, the trees, just the branches just start falling apart? That's what the Spirit wants to do. He wants goodness to just bloom and blow up on our trees. But we got to get out the way. We got to get out the way and know God is good all the time. And all the time, he's good. So I'm about to, I got one more thing. When we take the initiative to add goodness to our life, it positively affects our decisions and behaviors. That is an absolute fact. That is a spiritual fact that I will put everything on. If you are actively pursuing to add goodness to your life, actively, and I'm gonna use my favorite word, intentional. If you are intentional about it, like, I am not gonna get distracted by anything else. I am going after this, and I'm gonna allow the Spirit to do his part, and I'm gonna do my part, and we're gonna meet in the middle, and I wanna see this goodness and fruit in my life. It's going to affect how you think. It's going to affect the decisions you make, whether it's from the biggest life-changing decisions to should I go to the store or not. It will affect it in the most positive way. But it's up to you to take the initiative and not sit on your butts and wait for someone else to do it for you. So, now I'm landing the plane. I'm finally getting to land this plane now. God is good when, right? So multiple choice, all right? You know there's gonna come together, you know that. When my engine light comes on after I got it back from the shop. God is good when? When there's no more toilet paper, but I already sat down. Option, you know. Is God good when I have more outcome than income? Come on now, think about it. I got more outcome but income. I don't got that income. The income is, they're off balance. Is God good at that time? When your grass is greener than my grass. You know what I mean? Like, you, for some reason, you seem to be doing better than me. You know, your life just seems to just, everything is roses, everything is going well. I never hear about a rainy day in your life. Me, it's always a hurricane, volcano, earthquakes, and tsunamis. Why? Is God good at those times? When she said, he said, but nobody told me. You knew about it. And you knew about it, but no one came back to tell me about what it is y'all talking about. Or I find out that you was talking about me, but no one came to me to tell me about me. So when I'm in my feelings and I find out about that, is God good at that time? So the answer, you know, I hope you got this point. This is a spiritual fact. God is good all the time, and all the time he is good. This is the point that I wanted to drive home. And so at this point, I'm going to go ahead and close out in a prayer. And I believe we have one more song and that we can enjoy our fellowship. Let's pray. Sovereign Lord in heaven, thank you so much for your words. Thank you for allowing us to just come inside just for a moment and get to understand your goodness. Father, we know that we live our lives sometimes just completely oblivious to who you are, your interactions in our life, the Holy Spirit and his role in our life. And Father, we know that we live in times that seems uncertain. We don't know what is going to happen. We have fears, we have doubts, we have concerns. And all of this, God, you know it all. And yet your goodness still reigns. It falls on those who are upright and trust you, and your goodness fall on those who curse your name. We don't understand that. We don't know how to hug it. We don't know how to put our arms around that. And Father, that's why we ask the Holy Spirit to teach us your ways. Explain to us as children what it means to be in your goodness. Show us how do we add goodness to our faith, that we may grow, that we may be able to not only enjoy and experience, as the scripture says, to taste your goodness, but that those around us would be able to enjoy the goodness because it reflects in our lives. Father, I pray for our leaders of this world, of our country, as we enter this election season. I pray your goodness falls on those who will be leading. And I pray that your goodness falls on those who will follow. Because God, you are in control. Nothing happens without your permission. Nothing happens without you understanding the times. And so we pray that we can be people who walk in your light, who accept your goodness, and we will try our very best to reflect it in the dark world. We thank you so much for this honor. Thank you for calling us out of the darkness into your light, and that you've given us the fellowship and a community of believers that we can be a part of, that we can also encourage and inspire one another as we go out into the world and share your gospel to the world. We thank you so much. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.